everyone, and welcome back to the Narnia Web Council. This is Rillian, and today we have Glumpuddle with us. Hello, Glumpuddle.
How you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's been, I think, over a week since we last tried to do a podcast, and it sort of fell through, which is unfortunate. But, wow, I mean, I'm trying to think of how we want to preview the news. I guess... I mean, there was an interview recently done. Well, not really an interview. It's more of just a quote that came out from Michael Apted.
This is a couple weeks ago on the 14th.
On the 14th, yes.
Or somewhere around then.
Here is his quote. And this is basically going to be the whole podcast on this one quote. He says, and I quote, "This," meaning Don Treader, "is a lot more psychological. It's not a big action movie. There are a lot of different locations and adventures, but apart from a huge battle at the end with a sea serpent and a dragon, this is a character story."
What was that part? I'm sorry. Sorry. Keep going. Finish it.
This is a character story. The quality of the book and the appeal of the book is that it's more of an emotional than a swashbuckling adventure. Now, we both saw this, I think, about the same time, and I think you called me or I called you or texted you or something.
You called me. The first I heard of this was a text message from you, so thank you.
That's right. I texted you, and I was at work, and I kind of ducked out real quick and just said, "Hey, what do you think?" You know, and I think you and I had kind of very different, at least initial reactions. We both had time to process it since then. But why don't you share real briefly what your initial reaction was, and then I'll share mine.
My initial reaction was, oh my gosh, this is it. They're throwing in a big action scene, which we're always – it's just because we're always very sensitive to this as Narnia Webbers about them adding action scenes, especially to Don Treader, because, you know, everyone seems to agree that Don Treader is a very emotional, character-driven adventure story, not an action story. And there's always this kind of paranoia that, oh, Hollywood, they always want to add action scenes and ruin these stories, and they don't really get it. So that was my first reaction, is, oh, they're going to throw in an action scene with a dragon fighting a sea serpent. And that's how I felt initially. And I actually got online and was surprised to find that Narnia Webbers weren't feeling that as much. I mean, they definitely talked about it, like that was a concern, but they weren't panicking as much as I did initially. And I've thought about it since then, and I've calmed down, and I can see some potential positives here. This could actually be good adaptation, but I'm still concerned. This is just, you know, just another excuse to throw in an action scene.
Because my first response was very different. I think I remember you – I gave you my response and you said, "Really?"
Yeah.
It's my thought – because here's – I mean, yes, I heard about, you know, the huge battle at the end with a sea serpent and a dragon. I read that. And yes, that did jump out to me, I think, a little bit. But what really stuck out to me is where he says, "This is a lot more psychological," meaning, you know, more psychological than the previous films. "It's not a big action movie. There are – it's a character story. It's more emotional than a swashbuckling adventure." And I was contrasting this, I think, to a lot of what we heard, at least what I remember being said really about the second movie. Everyone's like, "Oh, this movie's much more gritty. It's much darker. It's much more exciting. It's much more..." Mm-hmm. They were kind of playing it up, and they weren't inaccurate. It was much more of a thrill ride than the first one. And I was glad that I thought, okay, here they're not playing up the action. Is right. If he's describing the movie briefly, you know, he's saying it's like any action is the exception to the rule. You know, where yeah, and once again, just to be fair, he says, you know, a huge battle at the end with a sea serpent and a dragon. You know, when he said sea serpent, I thought, oh, okay. Any battle they're doing is focusing around the sea serpent, and they're not doing some kind of, I don't know, Narnia fighting with an armada of ships against the sea serpent people or something, you know, something like that, which I actually thought they might try and do, or have some big pirate battle or something like that. So, yeah, what really stuck with me as far as, you know, if I was going to say, what did I get from this? Well, yeah, I got a little bit of negative caution, but I got a lot more. Oh, good, it's going to be – they're going to play up the psychological stuff and the emotion and the character development. And yes, this is what they're going to use to drive the movie. Well, and since then, maybe I've actually gotten a little bit more concerned.
Or just the opposite, I think. I think I've calmed down a little bit. But, I mean, first off, I mean, directors and writers in interviews, they always say, oh, it's all about the characters, you know, even though it's not. I mean, read an interview from the guys that wrote Transformers, which I have, and you would think that they just want to make these really deep, interesting characters. And, yeah, we're really going to focus on the Autobots in this movie and explore that. And it's like, no, you don't, you know. And so I just think that's typically – I don't know, just good marketing, basically. So we want to not sound like we're just making a dumb action movie. And second, even if that's true and it is a character-driven story and it's emotional, and which would be great, obviously, but that would still – he's basically saying here that this fight is the exception to the rules. What we have here is what would, my initial concern would be, that they're just finding a place to throw in an action scene, even though it's kind of in contrast to the rest of the movie. Now, I think that even action scenes should be story-driven, character-driven. It's not like, let's take a commercial break and have an action scene.
Right, right. Well, I would definitely agree with you. And I think I really think it's it's kind of funny because some of the – best movies out there don't necessarily have an action scene at the end. I mean, for good grief, the biggest battle in Lord of the Rings is in the middle of the third film. You know, it's right in the middle. And, you know, and the best Star Wars film by most people's agreement is The Empire Strikes Back, which has the big battle at the beginning. So,
right.
I hear you there. I think you're right. Let me just read just some of the – you pointed out some thread highlights from some people that were going on in the forum. This is from Narnia Lover 101. He says, "It is a huge relief to me to hear from the director himself that the movie is not an action-packed epic but rather a character-based emotional story. That's why Narnia should have been from the beginning. I don't believe I recall hearing such things from the crew about Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe, or Prince Caspian. It was always something like epic or big." And that was kind of my initial reaction. Is I thought, this is different from what I remember hearing about the first two films.
Yeah, I guess I can understand that. I, obviously, it's nice to hear Aftid say that. It's just that I guess
we wouldn't
I'm just
want him saying
waiting.
Otherwise.
Huh?
We wouldn't want him saying otherwise, even
right,
if it's
right. We
not
absolutely
true.
Wouldn't. Yeah, I guess one of the things I'm just like, I'm gonna wait for him to put. Waiting for him to put his money where his mouth is, because I've seen plenty of situations where, yeah, they say it's all about characters. And again, even so, maybe that bodes well for the movie as a whole, but for this specific scene, I think there could be cause for concern. I think it's interesting what Fantasia Kitty said, and we should really – I think this is what we should talk about next. She says Fantasia Kitty says that, you know, her biggest concern is not so much that it's that there's a battle between – that they're amping up a battle in some way. It's the fact that it's something that takes place near or after says at the end, and which is one of, has become one of the big issues we're talking about is what does at the end mean?
Yeah,
you know,
she says makes me wonder if the undragoning of Eustace might take place at the end where the kids see Aslan. That'd just be odd.
Yeah, and you got a very emotional departure of Rikichi. There's a very powerful emotional climax to Don Shredder, and like, you know, where does this fit in?
That kind of jumped out to me. I thought, wait a minute, what does he mean at the end? Because then some people say, well, what? Some people said, well, maybe he means in the second half. And I thought, well, that'd be great if it's, you know, just into the second half or something.
Or the last third, or just kind of in the
– And he says
towards the end. Like, again, basically the question is, when he says at the end, does he mean the climax?
Right.
Important to keep in mind here, by the way, that Aptid spoke these words and they were transcribed. He said it while he was actually busy shooting something on
set.
Right,
right.
So he didn't give a huge amount of thought to the way he worded it, you know? Mm-hmm. So he could have meant at the end very broadly.
Yeah. And but this also brings up I think this is a good time as any to discuss it. He says sea serpent and dragon. And
which that was Narni Weber Malka who pointed it out to me in the chat room. It was like, well, maybe what he means is that he's saying there are going to be two action scenes in this movie. The first one will number one, a battle at the end of the sea serpent. Number two, a battle with a dragon. He was actually referring to two different things.
Maybe.
No, I thought that's where you were going to go with that. Sorry.
No. I was just thinking. Well, okay. Here, let me read briefly from part of an email we got. A question. let's see. Which was this? I had it right here. Aha. Let's see. Oh yeah. Okay. This is from Wannabe Narnia Weber. Wannabe Narnia Weber, if you're listening, go ahead and just register on the forums, and then you'll be a Narnia Weber. It's that simple.
Yeah, if you click Narnia Web Forum, I think it's the top right corner. It says register. Just go ahead
Right,
and
and
click
then
that.
you can be a Narnia Weber, and your aspirations will be satisfied. He just I won't read the whole thing. But he says, I think, would it be possible if Eustace somehow took the arm ring of Octesian onto the Dawn Treader and turned into a dragon there? He says, so far there is no sign of Dragon Island being confirmed as one of the five islands that we know of.
It's also no sign of a lot of the other islands as well, so I don't know how powerful
True.
that is.
Yeah. But that was something I had actually thought of, just because, let's say they keep Deathwater, and one of the things he takes from maybe some stuff around there is, let's say there's some other treasures lying around, and he takes an arm ring. That was something I kind of considered, but then it's sort of, wait a minute, how much of this is going to play out on the ship? That would just I just don't think it would work. I think it would seem
Yeah,
contrived. I
in
think
the
it would seem
book, it
contrived.
definitely the way it's portrayed in the book, it definitely wouldn't work. They feel like, oh, there's no way we can have a dragon on board this ship.
Right, not only that, but it's so, it's the where's Eustace? Oh, a dragon's on the beach between us and the ship. You don't really, they
Right.
wouldn't make the connection immediately. But so, hey, I go into Eustace's bunk and there's this dragon there.
I know.
I think it would seem a little bit out of, I think it would jump out as out of place in the story and
Yeah.
odd.
But I mean, I think the reason he asked that question, the reason it's being considered, is that, wait a minute, if now we are assuming that the dragon is Eustace, by the way. I think it's a fair assumption to make at this point. And it's like, well, wait a second, like, where does the sea serpent attack them? In the book, it's just in the middle of nowhere the sea serpent attacks them. So where would Eustace, where would he be that he could rescue them? One, I think it was Edmund his king. Narnie Weber, he suggested that maybe they actually do leave Eustace behind, which Eustace, which we actually think might happen for a while in the book, and doesn't happen. And then Eustace like pulls a Han Solo or something, and flies back into the at the 11th hour and saves them from the sea serpent. I can't quite picture how this is all going to go down.
That could if they're gonna have Eustace, okay, because here's something that this is the kind of thing I can just picture a filmmaker saying, this is what I want to keep but completely rework. Eustace does go up against the sea serpent, she shows a lot of bravery, and it's kind of comical in the book because he does absolutely nothing and he breaks Caspian's second best
Right.
sword.
Yeah, I
And
think the whole point. I think the whole point of the scene is for him to have that moment to show
Right,
how
and
he's
I think
changed.
that's the kind of thing. If I were a director, I could, not a Narnia Web director, but I could see myself, if I were a director, saying, that is actually a really good piece of character development for Eustace to try to be that brave. That's kind of really important. We need to keep that, but it's just not going to work well on screen. What could we do? Hey, you know what? I could see someone doing that. So it would not at all surprise me. In fact, I think I am kind of expecting Eustace as a dragon to be involved in the fight against the sea serpent. That's
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. I'm thinking he's going to save them from the sea serpent at this point. And interesting that contrast. In the book, Eustace tries to use brute force to beat the sea serpent and fails miserably. And as Narnie Weber Farsight One says, these are like the whole point of the scene. I wouldn't say it's the whole point of the scene, but certainly the thing that makes the scene memorable and a little bit humorous at the end is that they win by not fighting. Reaper Chief, in fact, two characters, Eustace and Reaper Chief, behave uncharacteristically in this scene. Reaper Chief said, Eustace acts bravely, uncharacteristically, and Reaper Chief actually says, "Don't fight, don't fight," and that's part of the thing. Things that makes the scene memorable. And so it's like, well, taking like the whole idea behind the scene is that and by not fighting, and now you're going to make it this big action moment where Eustace comes in and defeats the sea serpent. It's kind of like missing what makes the scene so memorable in the book. And that wasn't that was definitely another thought that I had initially.
I think for me, I mean, honestly, the sea serpent scene in the book was never, I don't really know why, it was never even one of my favorites. I mean, I just didn't, I mean, I think I loved the Reepicheep moment
Oh,
more
really?
than
Like,
any other. What?
It just seems like such a, I don't know, it just seems like such a great typical adventure kind of like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea almost kind of moment, you know? That have
I don't know, I
the
guess it's sort
a
of,
sea monster, you
I
know?
guess it's very C.S. Lewisian, I guess I could say, in that it's the classic Odyssey fight with a twist of his hilarious irony at the
And I
end,
think
you know?
I also
And
just
I think
when you
that's.
look back at the book as a whole, I think it does give you this sense of, oh, they went on this adventure and they had all these dangers and encountered all these things. You know, it just gives you a bigger sense of the adventure as a whole.
Yeah, I agree, but I think I don't know. I think for me, what was jumping out to me, not so much as, oh, great, this is gonna feel like an action scene just thrown into the middle of the movie. I think actually, I was more concerned about the timing on. Okay, wait, if this is at the end, let's just say it is Eustace as the dragon. You know, all this discussion could be for naught if it's not. But let's just say it is. You know, then. This brings up, you know, why is his character development being shifted as far as the when in the film he kind of comes around and, because at least in the book, his transformation from the dragon, or restoration, I suppose I could say, from the dragon to his human form coincides with his,
Undragoning.
yeah, the undragoning coincides with his character transformation. Maybe they're going to change that. Maybe not. I mean, this is what Seven Chronicles said on the forum. He said, "Oh, actually, Seven Chronicles. I suppose he could be a woman. I'm sorry." It said, "I think the main reason they are having Eustace's character change later in the movie is so that we can see what a brat he was, and then how much he changed. Like in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Edmund's character didn't change until a little more than halfway through the movie, so I can see why they wanted to push the Dragon Island further down in the voyage of Eustace's character development. Well, first of all, we don't really know that they did that, but it's we
It
really
sure
have a
looks
very."
like it. I mean, if you have Eustace as a dragon, you know, at the end of the film, near the end of the
Presumably,
film, I
yeah.
mean, you certainly, how could you possibly just say that in the book, Eustace becomes a dragon at the end? He definitely doesn't.
Yeah, I think it. I don't know, because there's so many. I mean, yeah, you do want to establish that he was a real brat, but then there's quite a bit of interesting stuff with, you know, with his interaction, just, you know, seeing him interact with Ramandu and there, and
Yeah,
his
I guess
little.
we're,
What he says at the at Deathwater, because I think he gives the little bit a little bit at Deathwater, which.
Just to clarify, so know what you're talking about. I mean, I guess we're basically suggesting that they have moved Dragon Island, possibly. You know, in the book, it's where they it's one of the first islands they get to. Maybe in the movie, it's going to be one of the last islands they
I'm
get
going to
to.
just call it the Dragoning. I'm not going to call it Dragon Island. I'm just going to call it
Yeah,
the Dragoning
right.
at this point.
Yeah, the place where he gets on dragon, and certainly since he is a dragon at the near the end of the story, I mean, like it raises questions about, well, wait a minute, where does he get turned into a dragon, and where does he get undragoned? Which is one of the most memorable and iconic scenes in the entire series, is Aslan taking off Eustace's skin and undragoning him.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that, I don't know. I love that image so much, and I really, really, really want that done well. And,
Well, this might be a good spot for me to go ahead and just tell you what my theory is about all this, because that's
ahead,
really important to me
give me
as
your
well.
theory.
Okay, well, my theory is that, well, this is the optimistic approach. Basically, maybe this is an
What
example
have
of
you
a
done
good
with Club
adaptation.
Battle? Where is he?
This is why I'm like not panicking. Here's the possibility. Okay, well, I've been suggesting for some time that they make the change, go ahead and effectively move Dragon Island near the end of the story. Simply because I think that in the book, we get to know Eustace really well pretty quickly. We even get to read his journal for a while. And we can hear Eustace's thoughts. And also, even when he is a dragon, we can hear his thoughts. You don't have that in a movie. So I think that when it comes to interpreting all that visually, I think we need more time to establish, you know, what a self-centered brat Eustace is. We need that to happen for most of the movie, and then towards the end, this would be a much more conventional approach, you know, kind of what they tried to do with Peter and Prince Caspian, though I would hope they would do it better this time. Is, you know, have the character, you know, flawed for most of the movie, and then experience a change near the end. And so it might be that's what they're trying to do here. And so what better way to now in the again in the book, we hear Eustace's thoughts, so we see him go through this character transformation. where he starts realizing how self-centered he is, that he's not such a great person. We hear his thoughts, and that makes some of those beautiful pieces of writing in the whole series, is Eustace telling us what's going through – or Lewis telling us what's going through Eustace's head when he's a dragon. Well, you can't do that in a movie. You can't hear his thoughts. So
it really works poorly when you try.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, it can work sometimes, but in this situation, I don't think
it's
it would.
Cheesy,
so what the way you can do it is to visually show how he's changed is to have a scene where he rescues the crew from a sea serpent. That would show how he's not – how he's becoming – he's not so self-centered anymore. That would visually show the change. It would also the crew could kind of bond to Eustace because they've hated him for most of the journey. Now he saves their lives. They can bond to him. Also, it would give us as an audience an opportunity to root for Eustace. We've hated him through the entire story. And now we get to root for him. If we care about the lives of any of the characters on that ship, we're going to want him to defeat the sea serpent. So this could be – and again, that's a lot of speculation in what I just gave you. But this could be – good adaptation. Yeah, it works in the book, but how can we interpret that visually? And again, as you pointed out, Eustace does actually try to stop the sea serpent, so you could argue it's kind of rooted in the book. The whole point of that the sea serpent scene in the book, I think, is to give Eustace that moment.
Well, I wouldn't say the whole purpose, but that was definitely an opportunity, I think, Lewis
That was
saw.
The most important one, I would think.
Yeah, important opportunity, yeah.
That's my theory that has, you know, just completely 99% speculation.
Yeah, I'm just okay.
And I guess
I can see that. I can definitely see it happening. It'll just be so interesting to actually see it play out.
That's what's confusing.
I mean, well, here's the thing. I mean, does Eustace is it intrinsically important that Eustace change, reaches transformation at the point in the film that he did in the book? No. That's not the point. That's the means to the end. The end being that they properly establish, which the book did, they properly establish who he was before and who he was after, and you're not missing out on either, really. And if they've really done a lot of, you know, experimental scripts, and I'm not going to say anymore. If they've played around with that and they said, you know what, this really actually is the best way to accomplish that, that's really the best I can ask for, and just hope that they have good judgment on it.
Yeah, it's funny. I guess I should have mentioned more in my initial reaction. Like, my initial reaction was partially negative with overthrowing in this action scene. But then I was kind of like, well, this seems to imply that Eustace becomes a dragon later in the film than he does in the book. And I've been saying for months that I think that would be a good change to make. It would be a good adaptation. So two changes come out of this quote, and I like one of them and possibly don't like the other.
Yeah, we'll see. I am glad I actually anticipated them doing like a big battle with the merpeople. At the very beginning
that, I hope not. And I guess you could say this is again this would be another optimistic way to look at this quote, is saying, well, he's saying apart from a battle with a dragon and a sea serpent, so that doesn't mention the merpeople at all. So we're assuming there wouldn't be a battle then. I hope not.
I'm assuming there isn't. In fact, I think it'd actually be you could throw that out so completely and not even miss it from see, that's something I actually thought might happen that I'm glad is, and it sounds like there's not a lot of even action.
What about the stuff with Gumpus? You know, some of the footage you've seen, you know, like, or it seems to imply, we've been thinking for a while, that there's might possibly be an action scene there.
Maybe
this should make us feel better about that.
Eustace with an oar hitting him into the – that doesn't necessarily trigger action scene in my mind.
I guess – and we've never known that for sure. Maybe, again, we should look at this quote and say, well, that's encouraging. He doesn't seem to cite that as an action scene. I mean, it's really this whole scene with – Eustace attacking the sea serpent, it's just, again, this is a familiar feeling like from Prince Caspian, where it's like it kind of makes sense, but once I try to picture, wait a minute, how does this happen? So They're sailing along.
They leave.
Eustace is, I don't know where Eustace is, and they come to the sea serpent, and
Okay.
then Eustace, where does he come from and
Help
where
me
does he
remember
go?
something here. Help me remember the footage of them running around on the ship, scuttling about, and the guy's going, "Dragon, drag, he's settling on the mast. Dragon, left, right."
There's
That's it.
fire.
Yeah, fire. What is do you remember who was or was not there? Because there are people talking about, "Wait a minute, I don't see this person," or, "Why is this person here?"
Well, I know that we saw no. Well, the question of that was
I'm trying to
why?
remember.
Because we were assuming that this is when they find out that Eustace is a dragon. So we're like, well, what are they doing on the ship when they find out that he's a dragon?
Right.
And
Yeah.
so you have and so in that video, when you have the direct one of the ADs shouting, "Oh, there's a
Right.
dragon!" There's no mention of a sea serpent or anything, and they appear to be shooting at the dragon. If you
That's true. They didn't say anything about sea serpent, just said dragon. And at first, when I first saw it, I thought it was a sea dragon. I just thought of sea dragon, and so I didn't. It didn't even dawn on me that they would have a
So it's
dragon
like, I
circling the
guess
ship.
is this is that spy footage, is that somehow a part of what Apton's mentioning here, or is it something totally different? If so, well, come on, that's an action scene. It's got to be, right? So he's not mentioning that. So maybe he didn't mention the islands either, or the bird people. I mean, so I don't know.
What kind of an action scene? I mean, let's say it is Eustace. I'm guessing he's not going to fight
Well, I mean,
little
Ben
nuns
Barnes
ever.
also said pitched battles, so
Right.
I
Yeah.
don't know
He.
what these people are talking about.
That's true. And actually, and for those who are still concerned about pitched battles, look up what pitched means. It doesn't really work so well on water. Well, yeah, I'm not really sure what much more I can say on this.
Mean, it's
It's
just ultimately it comes down to is the re like I said, this could be a reason for this could be an example of good adaptation. Or this could be
Right.
let's throw in action scenes and
Yeah.
let's take a scene where there actually is some action in the book and make it where the whole point of it is that they don't fight. They win by not
Right.
fighting, and let's make them fight their way out of it. Or is it just that? So it's ultimately,
Right.
and then when you try to work out exactly how it would work in context, it's like, well, it causes concern because like, well, wait a minute, how is this going to affect the undragoning, which is such a
Right.
critical
Yeah.
scene?
I think that's what I'm most concerned about. Although one thing I will say is that with as much discussion as this little quote has generated, it does not. I can't think of anything, maybe you can, that has further substantiated the unfathomable fate.
You think that
I
oh,
cannot. I can't think of anything that has
I
substantiated
don't
it.
see how this does that.
Yeah, I don't.
You think that a sea serpent might be an unfathomable fate?
I don't.
Because I
Could
mean,
that possibly
because
be what
the
they're
whole
referring to?
synopsis was that the basically their mission is to save Narnia from an
Narnia, yeah.
unfathomable fate.
That was the thing. I'm just saying that with all the stuff that we've been talking about recently, I'm just glad that nothing has seemed to substantiate that. But then we had the same thing
That
with the
makes me more
kiss too,
worried. That's
so I'm
like, well, then
sorry.
what is it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
We're gonna get a 30-minute, a 30-second TV spot showing the unfathomable kiss. I mean
Oh,
fate.
that was unfathomable, and it
That was
happened.
unfathomable.
Oh, I must say, I'm very surprised that Narnia Webbers aren't reacting more negatively to this. I was sure they were. But if you look at the poll on the front page as it stands now,
Right.
over 600 people have voted. 32% say they're very neutral about it, which I guess is sort of the safe way to vote. Like, we don't know that much, so I'm neutral. And surprisingly,
I'm present.
17% are spoiler free, so I guess they aren't listening to this. I hope. Then they're not spoiler free anymore.
Sorry.
Yeah. Then we have 16%. Say that they have just a rather negative feeling about it. And then just under that, 16% say it sounds awesome. Then 15% have a rather positive feeling about it, and then 4% say it's terrible. So all in all, like not that n no one's really thrilled about it, but not that many people
Right.
are totally against it either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is
I mean.
surprising. I really thought that everybody would immediately say, "Oh, they're throwing an action scene. How dare they?" And that was kind of my first reaction. And I'm still concerned that might be the case. But I can. It's also a possibility here where it could be good adaptation. So it's all about
Yeah,
where they go.
but then I
And again,
mean,
it's nice to hear Apted say it's a character-driven story. It's nice to
right.
see those words come out of his mouth. But yeah, I it's encouraging. I just want to see him put his money where his mouth is. And all right, you said it,
Right.
Mike. Let's see it now.
Well, it's one of those things. I mean, I feel bad that I have not seen any other films besides Amazing Grace of Michael Apted's. I mean,
Which is a
but
very character-driven film.
which is a very good character-driven story. So that's one of those things where I was thinking, okay, if I thought, I it was sort of funny because I thought, if because Andrew Adamson, I thought if he when he said. Because I just thought, okay, what is, does Michael, does Andrew Adamson do a lot of character? Well, I guess he kind of does, but they've also got a lot of fun action, if not, intense action. It's at least fun action and stuff. So I thought, okay, well, Michael Apted has done stuff without action and very psychological and character driven. So if he wants to, he can do it. Maybe he doesn't mean he is, but he certainly is capable. So that, I guess that encouraged it. Coming from Michael Apted, it meant more than say if Adamson had said it.
Yeah, it's true.
So
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess this is just kind of another podcast episode of
we
nothing,
don't know what we're
really.
talking
We have
about.
no
We
idea,
have
like, why are you
no
even listening to
clue.
us?
Why do
And
you listen to us? We don't.
I after we get, like, a trailer or something, like, we can say with a little more confidence what we think of things. And
Right,
this is like,
right.
well, if this is what it is, this is what I will probably think of it, but maybe not. And if this is what it's not, I might think this too, but maybe not. I mean, like, so basically, what did we say in this podcast? Practically nothing, but that's why we have Narnia Web. To express our practically nothing.
Well, it's one of those things where it's I mean, there's just so many unknowns. Yeah, I look at this and I say, yeah, I could tell you if it was good or bad if I knew more. So much of the stuff is not I'm trying to think of another example besides the like this, I say, okay, well, the MLG, that's something where you say, okay, really, and is it good or bad? I don't know.
Well, let
It
me just
depends on
quickly
so many
mention
other
here that
things.
we finally figured out the actress who's playing the MLG. It's
That's true.
Arabella Morton. So she's the I'm calling the SLN, the SM SLNLG now, the slightly less mysterious little girl.
Say that five times fast, right here.
SLNLG. There you go. This one time.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking this is actually right here. This is what I'm gonna yell if they have an unfathomable fate in the actual movie. And this is a request I had from someone who wanted another one of my voice impressions. Inconceivable!
That's what it would be.
That's what
Well, so was the
it
kiss,
would be. I
though.
just yell.
The
I
kiss
get
was
a bunch
too.
of Narnia weapons. Inconceivable! Do you want me to
Well,
send
I
you
thought
back
the
to where you
kiss was
came
pretty
from in
inconceivable too.
Greenland?
The kiss was pretty inconceivable too, so I don't know.
I guess it was I should have yelled that out.
Yeah.
Inconceivable.
And
Okay.
on that note, I think we've officially gone as far with this issue as we can go.
Or at least should go and retain our sanity.
Yeah, I'm all speculated out at this point right now. I just have wait and see. I'll just go see. Eh, I'll just not talk anymore. I'll just go see the movie. That's my new vow. It'll probably last about
Two
five
minutes.
seconds.
Two
5 seconds
minutes.
after this podcast
Probably. Yeah, I'm sure that tomorrow the trailer will come out and all this stuff will be useless. Until then, it
ends.
was really fun to discuss this with you, Glumfuddle. Thanks for joining me.
As always, I love making podcasts full of nothing. It's
What a
fun.
wonderful way for two students to spend their time. If our professors only knew, it's like, you want to know why I got a C on that exam? Well, let me tell
We're
you, it's
talking
for a
about
good
nothing.
cause. Good cause. Thank you very much, Glumfuddle.
Thank you.